Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us. Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Got some breaking news right off the top of the show. According to our friend Adrian Dater, who is the hockey writer for Colorado Hockey Now, Nathan MacKinnon will not play for his second straight game. That will be tomorrow night against the Blues. Guessing he is still in the COVID protocol. With that, Mace, how are you?
I'm all right. Feeling a little slow and sluggish today.
I could tell. I think you and I pulled into the parking lot at the same time, and as the music was rolling, you didn't walk into the studio. You waltzed into the studio. Is everything all right?
I'm all right. I mean, if you know, a waltz would you'd consider more up tempo than just walking in, right?
Sure.
I think I would say...
I crawled into the studio.
I lumbered into the studio. I mean...
Everything all right, man?
For lack of a better way of putting it, I'm constipated today.
Time now for the lead.
The lead is presented by Marco's Pizza in Aurora, where everything is fresh, never frozen, like the dough and sauces to go with hand-cut meats and veggies. Order today at either location, off Smoky Hill Road or Quincy in Aurora.
I mean, you asked. I wanted to give you an honest answer.
Well.
I'm feeling a little backed up right now.
Well would have worked.
Yeah.
Feel a little under the weather. My stomach hurts. I don't know if you needed to go there so close to dinner time, but listen.
I mean, I just got to clear things out. You know, sometimes
yeah,
you get a little something stuck in the pipes and you got to get it out.
Okay.
Danny's laughing right now. So like,
hey, Danny,
I keep this up.
I have a very sophomoric sense of humor.
Hey, Danny, let's do this one more time. Now that we've gotten that out of the way, time now for the lead. So we can start the show.
The lead is presented by Marco's Pizza in Aurora, where everything is fresh, never frozen, like the dough and sauces to go with hand-cut meats and veggies. Order today at either location, off Smoky Hill Road or Quincy in Aurora.
Y'all good, Mace? Anything else?
I'm fine. I'm just hoping that this will break sometime, preferably right after the show.
Okay. You need some dairy or maybe a little prune juice?
Oh, I've taken care of all that. I'm just waiting for everything to take effect.
You didn't take any X-lax before the show, did you? Because you'll be doing the show remotely with an echo.
No, I'll be fine.
Okay.
Yeah. A little softer stuff than that.
Broncos Raiders on Sunday. Let's jump right into it. Three keys for the Broncos to win. You give me one, I'll give you one. We'll go back and forth.
Oh, well, I'd say a big key is defensively, you cannot let Darren Waller get loose. And
that was mine, too. That was number one.
Oh,
gosh darn it.
Well, you have a second key, right?
I do.
Yes.
Mine was contain Darren Waller. But apparently I can't use that one.
Well, why don't you? Okay, you go and tell me why they should contain Darren Waller. Why he's such a problem and how difficult it is to contain him.
Well, I'll tell you who's going to be containing him. I believe it's going to be Justin Simmons because at practice today, out at practice, it was Darby starting at one corner spot.
Yep.
Surtain starting at the other corner spot. And then Callahan in the slot. So it looks like Fuller is going to be watching from the sidelines until they need him. I think that decision has been made. You and I talked about that earlier in the week, and if that's the case, they might put Surtain on Waller, but it looks like it's quite possibly going to be Justin Simmons. Offensive line needs to block better. The Raiders' defense is much better than it has been in years, and they need to do run blocking better. They need to do pass blocking better. They need to make sure that somebody isn't always in Teddy Bridgewater's kitchen. They have to find a way to get the running game going. And listen, I know it's kind of a fallback comment. I'm not going to go with they have to win the turnover battle. But
that's every week.
That's right.
Because turnover margin is the most predictive statistic we have.
Right. But I'm going to go with the obvious stuff. They need to generate a better pass rush too. Because you know what? I love me some Shelby Harris, but I need more than knocking down passes from him. I just do. And Draymond Jones, who we talked about potentially having a breakout season. I think the first person to break out is going to be you in a bathroom before Draymond Jones, because he hasn't done it yet.
Maybe the Broncos pass rush is a little bit constipated, especially from the interior.
They're all backed up.
Yeah.
They're not even close to where they need to go.
They need to flush something out.
Well, you know what? If the Broncos lose, I have a feeling this season could be flushed down the toilet. But I digress. Give me another key to the game.
Another key to the game. On offense, you need to get on schedule. And so much of the Broncos' third down woes, we've talked about it a lot, but the third down woes are because of what they're not doing on first and second down. And they're facing second and nine, second and 10, third and eight way too often. One of the things that is happening, for example, is over the course of this season, when they've got first and 10 and they run the ball, they've got the third highest percentage of runs that don't generate more than 1 yard. So either 1 yard, no gain, or loss of yardage. And that's when Vic Fangio says there are some stats that kind of point to struggles in the run game. That's what he's talking about, because they're getting explosive runs, which are helping the yards per carry, but then they're also losing yardage way too often. And so if they're going to be better on third down, they need to make sure those third downs are third and three, third and four. Teddy Bridgewater, third and three, third and four, he's going to be very good for you, because he'll get you that little 5 yard post, that five yard slant, and you'll just keep the chains moving. But when they're in third and eight, third and nine, that's not going to get done. So they got to stay on schedule on the offensive side.
Okay, I tell you what. Do you believe, even though Pat Shurmur says he doesn't listen to the media, it seemed like the narrative at the press conferences was, how come the Broncos aren't running the ball more?
Mm-hmm.
What did Pat Shurmur decide to do going into the Steelers game? What did he do as the game started?
He opened with two runs, even though they had a false start that put him in first and 15 right out of the blocks. And that's another thing with staying on schedule, by the way, is you can't commit dumb penalties like that. You can't undermine yourself with self-inflicted wounds. And that first possession might have gone a lot differently if they don't have the false start. And then, of course, later in the second quarter, when they melted down at the goal line and settled for a field goal after Javonte Williams spiked the ball, well, that's the kind of thing that you can easily avoid. So you're going to have things that happen to you during a game, but the Broncos, at least last week, they were their own worst enemy. They can blame themselves for not coming back with a win from Pittsburgh. They don't have to say, oh, we got beat. No, they beat themselves, and there were enough instances where they did beat themselves to where they can say, yeah, they didn't beat us. We lost that game ourselves.
This is why I'm bringing it up. What was another narrative? Give me a narrative. I'll give you the narrative. I think a narrative at the press conference this week, the press conferences, was, where the hell was Noah Fant in this offense?
Yep.
Right? I'm curious to see if Noah Fant gets far more involved, because according to FanDuel Sportsbook, the over-under on catches is 4.5, and the over-under on yards is 44.5. You going with the over or the under?
I'm going over.
I'm going over too.
Now,
because yeah. I think there are little birdies inside those walls of Dove Valley that let Pat Shurmur knows what's going, let him know what's going on, and Pat Shurmur is like, "I'll show you."
Well, it was funny yesterday at the press conference that Shurmur had. He made a point of mentioning that when they were in goal to go in the second quarter after the Javonte Williams spike delay of game, and Bridgewater got sacked on a terrible protection breakdown. Well, Noah Fant was the guy who was targeted.
Right, but the guy who broke down was Javonte Williams,
yes,
who has had very few misses this year.
Yeah, he has had very few misses. But the thing with Williams is that you see the fumble, you see the spike. When he misses or he makes a mistake, it seems like it's costing the Broncos a lot. Whereas Melvin Gordon is just kind of steady as he goes, right? And so maybe we'll see a little more of Melvin Gordon as a result. He missed practice Wednesday, but he's fine now. But Noah Fant was targeted 10 times against the Ravens, 12 days ago. Last Sunday, he was targeted only four times, not targeted until the fourth quarter, although Shermer pointed out, oh, he would have been the guy thrown to if the protection doesn't break down. I think they will try to involve him earlier in the game, maybe even on the first two or three plays, make sure he's the primary read and try to get him the ball. And the other thing is, Noah, you got another pass rush challenge coming up this Sunday, right, after the one you faced in Pittsburgh? Noah Fant, the best thing he can do to help pass protection is to run a little route into the flat and be active in the screen game. Because then Max Crosby, Carl Nassib, Yannick Ngakoue all have to think more about that and can't simply pin their ears back and take off at Teddy Bridgewater. So I want to see the screen game working and working early, so you give those edges for the Raiders a reason to hesitate before they attack.
Coming up after the break, it is potentially the worst case scenario for Andrew Mason. His Braves are taking on the Dodgers. Last night's game was an absolute classic with a huge bit of controversy on the final pitch of the game. A lot of people are squawking. Should Major League Baseball make a major change? We'll talk about it next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason, watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, I want to tell you about Silta Har Mazda, loaded with inventory. What does that mean to you? Well, other Mazda dealerships, they are low on inventory right now. Not the case at Silta Har Mazda. They're going to get you exactly what you want. Like, for example, a Mazda CX-30. It's a small crossover SUV, all-wheel drive, leather trim seats, great power, and 32 miles per gallon on the highway. I mean, this baby has it all. Take one for a test drive today, and remember, at Silta Har Mazda, it is stress-free, it is hassle-free. That's the way it should be. Get up to Broomfield today or go to sthmazda.com. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Eric Cook at Farmers Insurance, the Cook Insurance Group, focused on people, not policies. Call today at 303-790-8089. That's 303-790-8089.
What a baseball game last night. Dodgers against the Giants, Game 5 of the Division Series. And it was really everything that we expected. These were the top two teams in baseball last year. When they played during the regular season, they split, I believe, right down the middle in terms of the season series. Most of the games were very competitive. And then you go to the final game, 1-1 game, gets decided late, and it was just terrific. It's unfortunate, sorry about your Braves when I say this, it's unfortunate this could not have been the National League Championship Series. But let's talk about the final play, the final pitch of the game. It was Max Scherzer on the mound, and the guy he was facing, check swing. It was clearly not a strike. And the guy was called out, and boom, that was the ball game. Okay? We have instant replay in baseball, but not on something like that. Should Major League Baseball change that and start doing replay on check swings?
I would only approve of it if they change how replays are reviewed. Right now, you have umpires that go from the field to the replay booth in New York or for West Coast games in San Francisco, and they handle the reviews. Like the NFL, for example, has a separate replay official who is not an on-field official, is not part of the on-field crew in any way, shape, or form. So if Major League Baseball does that, I'm fine with more replay. If they don't do that, I think it's even this is subject to some of the same mystifying calls that we've seen in other instances throughout instant replays time in Major League Baseball. I like the idea if I know it's going to be administered properly. I'm not convinced it will be.
See, this is what I don't get. And listen, guys make mistakes. I understand that. Generally speaking, yesterday's game was called very well. Would you agree?
Compared to some of the others, I mean, there were, game two when Angel Hernandez was behind home plate was a doozy. In a good way.
Dude, you got a problem with Angel Hernandez.
A lot of people have a problem with Angel Hernandez. Yeah,
but you have a big problem with him. You've mentioned him more than a few times on the show.
Most diehard baseball people do have a problem with Angel Hernandez. Okay.
So what I find interesting is one bad call. First one to tell you that. It's all anybody wants to talk about. You tell me where you're good 98% of the time, and I'd like to hire you. But that's all people want to talk about. One bad call. And it was a bad call. Be the first one to tell you. Tell me who's 100% in their job. I would like to meet him. I would like to hire him.
Here's the interesting thing on that particular call. When you have a check swing, you always check with the appropriate umpire. So like if you've got a right-handed batter, you're going to check with the first base umpire, and a left-handed batter, you're going to check with the third base umpire. Mm-hmm. Because the reality is that umpire has a better angle on the plate and whether the batter came across or not.
Mm-hmm.
And usually on these check swing calls, this is something that when you go down to the first or third base umpire for an appeal, usually they get this right.
But they didn't.
They missed, but this one they missed big time.
You know what? If you want to do replay and check swings, we're going to have longer games. Fine, so be it.
And we've actually had it come up.
It's not a good thing for baseball.
We've actually had it now come up twice this week where replay could not review.
Well, if you want to slow down the game.
It happened on a foul ball in Braves Brewers game 4 as well.
If you want to slow down the game, then we'll do that too. Okay, I don't think they should slow down the game. Robotic umpires, it's been all the rage. It's being used right now in the Atlantic League.
Yep.
They're eventually going to probably get to it.
At minimum for a strike zone. Okay. That's where it's going to start with
a
robot.
You think it's a good
umpire.
Idea?
Yes.
Just awful.
I think a robot umpire for the strike zone is terrific.
It's the dumbest thing you could possibly do, and I'm going to tell you why you're wrong. As I'm saying that very forcefully.
Yes.
Talked to two former major league pitchers today, and they said it is the worst idea you could possibly imagine. You want to know why? I'm going to diagram it for you. For those watching on milehighsports.com. Because of those lasers where they are on the plate, picture the outside corner of the plate, okay? Let's say you have a right-handed pitcher against a right-handed batter, all right? And here's the plate, okay? So I'm holding up, for those listening on radio, I'm holding up essentially what would be a plate. And just the laces of the ball skim the left side of the plate, the very left-hand corner. As you're facing the plate, it skims it. Remember, with those lasers, all it has to do is cross the plate. That's it. No, it doesn't. It has to hit the front of the plate. It has to hit the front. Let me finish.
The way it's done right
Can
now.
I, let me finish.
Yes.
It has to hit the front of the plate. So 99% of the ball is out of the strike zone. But 1% is in. And as it was said to me, hitters are going to be miserable. You've just extended the strike zone tremendously.
But here's the thing. Isn't that right now, isn't it the case where if it's like the foul, like a foul ball, if it catches a little bit of chalk, even a tiny bit of it, it's fair.
Mm-hmm.
So the rule is if it catches even the edge of the strike zone, it's fair.
Right.
And it's consistent.
Good. That's right. And you're going to have more strikeouts than you can possibly imagine.
You'll also have batters adjusting knowing that going to be a strike.
It's hard enough. It's hard enough to hit the baseball. Again, if a guy is good 30% of the time, he's fantastic. You have just completely expanded the strike zone. And you are going to have guys striking out all the time in pitchers. Are going to try and nibble those corners all the time.
But you already have a situation where the ball is outside the strike zone, but the catcher, if he frames it properly.
It's, as these guys said to me, guys who played.
Yes.
Guys who played told me this. Well, you didn't play, I didn't play. Guys who played.
Are the guys who played always right?
The guys
We see it every night in Major League Baseball.
You know what they said to
where
me?
The catcher moves his hand and all of a sudden, magically, a pitch that's 2 inches outside the strike zone becomes a strike.
Right.
And that's crap because we have the technology to get rid of that sort of manipulation.
As they said to me, from their years of pitching, framing doesn't make it a strike.
It does with some umpires. Umpires fall for this all the time.
Bring in robotic cameras, okay? Bring in robotic cameras, and all you have to do is have a small little lace touch the front of the plate or the left side or the right side, and it's a strike. I want you to picture something, okay? I want you to visualize this. You have a left-handed pitcher against a right-handed batter, and he throws a slider that breaks hard and catches the corner of Let me finish. Picture the plate. As you are facing it, I'm talking about the right-hand corner that is closest to you. You have a lefty on the mound and a righty at the plate.
I know exactly how that looks. You don't need to lecture me on
that. I'm trying to explain it to everybody.
You're lecturing, but okay.
So you have a guy who throws a slider and he catches 1% of the front right-hand corner. And then the ball could potentially even hit the guy. And that's a strike. Good luck hitting that.
It's a great pitch.
No, it's not a great pitch because an umpire would never call that a strike in a million years. Batters will be frustrated with is this. They will see pitches that are unhittable that will be called strikes. That's how it was put to me. Pitches that are unhittable. 99% of the time, pitches that are called by umpires are at least hittable. These pitches won't even be anywhere really near the plate. And as they said to me, pitchers are going to learn how to pitch that way. And batters can try and adjust all they want to. But going back to the lefty on the mound and the righty, you just have to trim the front right-hand corner of the plate. And that thing is going to be in on that guy's hands, impossible to hit. And the robotics would call it a strike, and the umpires would never call it a strike.
You know, if pitchers were robotic as well and could get 100% placement on that, I think you'd have a point here. But that's not the reality. You're still dealing with human arms that get tired, that get fatigued, that miss their spots.
Sure.
Often,
guys miss their spots.
It's going to if you're a high level pitcher and you can hit your spot, you're going to do well. But you know what? You're already doing well.
You don't have.
I don't think this would adjust in this. This would result in this massive rearrangement of the game of the game, of the parameters of it.
Well. From how it was explained to me, the pitchers will have an enormous advantage because hitters are going to get strikes called on them that they have no chance of hitting. And what will happen is it's the hitters that will get so incredibly frustrated, they will beg to go back to umpires. They will beg to go back to umpires. That's one reason why in the Atlantic League, they're not even halfway where they need to be to make this work. And quite frankly, I don't even know how you make this work. Eventually, they will try and find a way to do it, but you have to set up these lasers somehow. What is it going to be? Is it going to be the front of the plate?
Well, you don't have to just have it be the front of the plate. If you have enough lasers, if you have enough sensors, it can measure the entire plate. It can work three-dimensionally.
But the problem you're
going to be able to get this in every minor league park, which is going to be a very interesting thing because you could probably get more at a major league park than a minor league park because of the cost associated with it. And that's something to consider as well. Because if you're going to do it right and make sure you've got the whole plate in play, you cannot just have the sensors at the front of the plate.
Well, here's the thing. if you're catching a good part, if you want to put it in the center of the plate, then you're giving a huge disadvantage to the pitcher because he could cut a corner really hard and he may not hit that sensor. There's no perfect answer. But if you do it at the front of the plate, which is where the laser would be, the hitters are going to have a nightmare.
Are these imperfect robot answers any worse than C.B. Buckner calling a pitch 4 inches outside the zone?
You
a
might,
strike,
you know,
or calling
you might be
or
right.
calling a pitch an inch inside the zone a ball. Because again, you watch baseball night after night. You see this happening night after night that they mess up.
I just talked to two guys who pitched in the majors that are currently coaches, and they're both sabermetrics guys as well. So, generally speaking, for me, when I have these conversations with you on the air, I talk to people who are smarter than me, and quite frankly, that's not very hard to find. Anybody who is smarter than me. That's how I educate myself. And both of them, not knowing I talked to the other one, said the same exact thing. Coming up after the break, every Friday on the show, we do the Rocky Mountain Forest Product Gambling Challenge with our friends Ty, Cal, Kate, and Evan from the Just Us Guys podcast. We're going to talk about the Broncos game. Broncos are 4-point favorites. Over under 43.5. What are we taking? So you can have an idea on what to bet on this weekend. That's next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us at MileHighSports.com. You can reach us Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to RMFP.com. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Impact Real Estate. Impact Real Estate is creative real estate and solutions with the greatest impact. Go to ImpactCommercial.co.
Okay, every Friday on the show, we do the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Gambling Challenge with Ty, Cal, Kate, and Evan from the Just Us Guys podcast. Let's talk about the odds, or some of the odds, for the Broncos game on Sunday against the Raiders. According to FanDuel Sportsbook, Broncos are 4-point favorites against the Raiders. You taking the Broncos, given the points?
You know what? If I didn't have to make a pick for this, I wouldn't make a pick, because the pick that I've given so far has the Broncos winning by exactly 4. So I'm going to take the Broncos and give the 4 and just say, all right, maybe they'll win by a little bit more. But the margin I've got on my predicted score is exactly 4 points. This is one where if you looked at the entire roster of games on Sunday, I'm not sure this would be a game that you pick.
I am going to pick the Raiders, not because I necessarily think they're going to win, but I think that they keep it within a 3.5-point ball game.
Maybe it comes down to a Brandon McManus field goal.
Well,
is that what you're saying?
Well, no, not necessarily. The other thing is I picked the Broncos 5 weeks in a row, and I'm 0-2 over the last 2 weeks, as are you. According to FanDuel Sportsbook, over-under 43.5. Over the under.
Well, as was said on The Simpsons, if you're one of those compulsive types who has to bet, take the over, because I've got a 24-20 final.
24-20. Oh, wow. Well, you have it at 44 then. Wow.
Exactly. So by that definition, I'm going with the over.
Yeah, I'm wondering with Derek Carr, if they let him pass even more in this game. I think that Darby should help with him being on the field, because Fuller hasn't been all that. I'm worried about Waller. I'll go with the over as well. But I don't feel confident with the Broncos scoring a lot of points. Again, do you?
I don't.
Guys, what do you think?
This is one that if you know how like Chris Berman or others, they only would pick like 3 or 4 games a week. This is not a game that I would pick if I had to choose one of 3 or 4 games to pick this week. The unknown factor of John Gruden being out, Rich Bisaccia coming in, Greg Olsen coming in and calling the plays on the offensive side. The Raiders, they could melt down, but as we talked to Pritch yesterday, and I brought this up and he agreed with me on it that they were lethargic last week.
Right.
I feel like even though it's been a troublesome week for them, that at least they've got the issue out of their building that made them lethargic last week.
Right.
And there's enough time for them to figure this out. I mean, they're five games in. I mean, there really is no template for a team replacing their coach when they have a winning record in October. This doesn't happen. So we're in new territory.
Let's
here.
Make a prediction.
Okay.
On the what if.
All right.
What if none of this happens to John Gruden until next week? Who do you like in the game?
And we had not heard anything about it, so it's
correct.
No distraction whatsoever. We haven't heard
John
a thing.
Gruden's the coach.
Picking the Raiders.
Yeah. Right.
I think on balance they're a better team right now.
Yeah.
Personnel wise.
Right. Look what they did the opening couple weeks of the season, 2-3 weeks of the season.
And what the Broncos did against those same exact opponents as the Raiders faced in weeks 1 and 2 in the same exact order. Baltimore at home, at Pittsburgh. I mean, clearly when you look at the common opponents, the Raiders were a better team. Now, that doesn't mean they're better on Sunday because of everything that's hanging over. But if this were just in a vacuum, a normal set of circumstances, I think pre-scandal, the Raiders would have been favored coming here. Maybe not by a lot, like by one.
Well, I think they'd be 4-1.
Because they would have beaten the Bears last week.
Right.
I agree. I think they lost that game because of all the off-field stuff. They had no business losing to Chicago. But they looked flat. They looked disinterested.
I'll tell you something
else. They looked like they didn't want to play for their coach.
You know what? I'm glad that I picked the Raiders. And you know what? I think they might win this game outright, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because I think they want to stick it to John Gruden, a lot of the black players on the team, and say, we didn't need you. You and your racist comments. We don't need you. We're going to show you that we can win without you. I think that could be a mindset going into this game. I think he offended a lot of guys in that locker room. A lot of guys that probably don't know him very well. Unlike guys who played for him many, many years ago, who still have a loyalty towards John Gruden. I think they want to show they don't need him. I think they might rally because of this.
I don't think they're the only one. I don't think they're the only ones as well. I think, remember Carl Nassib, of course, kind of took a personal day on Wednesday. Well,
he
probably feels the exact same way. Because if for those players that are black, for Carl Nassib being the only openly gay player in the NFL, what John Gruden said was a shot across their bow directly, more so than anybody else on that team.
It wasn't a shot across the bow, it was a shot at them.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
It's a shot at them directly. Shot across the bow means you really don't hit anything. Each guy got plugged with a bullet with those emails.
Well, as much as a bullet can happen because of words, but the thing is, you talk about wanting to have an open and inclusive environment, especially when a lot of those guys go to the Raiders thinking that's what they're walking into. And to have that happen, you can't blame guys for not wanting to play hard on Sunday. You can't blame Carl Nassib for saying, okay, I just got to take a day here and gather my thoughts. But the thing is, we're talking about a lot of awfully good players that are going to be awfully motivated on Sunday, and this is the thing that could make it dangerous for Denver.
I think the Raiders come out fired up. I think the Broncos need to punch them in the throat early, and if they let the Raiders hang around, the team with the most talent is going to win.
You know what's interesting? You say punch them in the mouth early, right?
Yep.
The Broncos haven't had a first possession touchdown in 24 games.
Right.
The Raiders have the second longest streak.
Yeah.
But it's only 11 games.
Right.
By the way, the chances of the Broncos going 24 games without a first possession touchdown based on first possession touchdown rates league-wide, 305-1. So you have two teams that start slowly. The one that actually comes out quickly, they're probably going to win this game. And that's why, like you said, they got to come out with a punch early. This is where, get Noah Fant involved. Maybe the other thing you try, maybe the deep shots to Courtland Sutton that have worked, maybe you get one of those over the top early to try to get the first strike.
What do we have coming up on Mountain High Appliance, just in case you missed it?
Before the pros hit the field on Sunday, the college kids will be on the gridiron Saturday. The Falcons, the Rams, and the Buffs all have games tomorrow. We'll talk about Colorado college football after the break right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason on Mile High Sports.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason, watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us, the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, it is dinner time, and what are you going to be doing? My suggestion, Smokin' Dave's Barbecue and Brew. They have locations all over Colorado, but in the Denver metro area, you can find them in Centennial off of Arapaho Road. That's where I go. You can also find them in North Denver as well. With that, I want to bring in Dave from Smokin' Dave's. How are you, my friend?
Good. How you doing, Eric?
Really good. Let's talk about the way you smoke your meats, because I think the only thing that you don't smoke are your napkins and your plates.
We sometimes smoke those as well.
Do you? Wow. Well, you know what? Then I need to dine in more than carry out. What is the? I don't want you to give away too many family secrets here, but what is the trick to making everything taste so good?
Well, I mean, we start with a great smoking vessel. We use old hickory pits. They're just great for restaurant use. They're easy to control. They burn the wood nice and evenly. The next thing is having a good wood source and having the right amount of moisture in your wood and have the right type of wood. And then we also you have the right kind of products and you source good quality meats and you season them with good quality rubs. And yeah, I think you end up with a pretty good product.
The one thing about the football season is everybody loves to watch it, at least probably people who listen to this show, but they also like to tailgate or maybe host a party. I'm having a Halloween party in a couple of weeks. We are going to be catering in from you guys. What kind of things can people do with you guys catering?
We have a great catering menu, and you can access that on our website, smokingdavesbarbecue.com. And we have bulk meats, bulk sides, bulk desserts. So from a tailgating standpoint, you can do little finger sandwiches. We have great wings that are barbecue smoked wings that we do in a variety of different styles, from spicy to sweet to Thai chili. And those are a great tailgating item as well.
And do you also have like dishes where they can be served in to keep stuff warm? Because there are a lot of places that don't have that stuff.
We do offer what we call a catering kit. Mm-hmm. And it includes a wire rack, a water pan. You put your normal pans in there that you would have your food in, and sternos and serving utensils. We are having some issues with some supply chains getting those wire racks. Mm. Everything is back ordered, just like everything else. So those are kind of a hit and miss right now, but we're doing our best to keep those in stock.
All right. As I've said many times, not only the best barbecue place in town, I really believe you are one of the best restaurants in town, period. Give me two things that are non-barbecue items that people need to order. If, you know, you go with a group of people, some people are really going to want your barbecue, and why not? But maybe somebody wants something non-barbecue. What do you recommend?
Right off the bat, I think of our southern catfish, cornmeal breaded, lightly seasoned with our lemon pepper and garlic. And it's just to die for. It's nice and mild and moist. Great, great product. And then our chicken marsala. I brought that over from my previous life in my steakhouses, and it's just fantastic. Seared chicken breasts with sautéed mushrooms, and we deglaze the pan with our nice Marsala wine.
Yeah, man, that is really unbelievably good. How do people find you?
You can check us out on our website, smokingdavesbarbecue.com, and that's the best way to list all of our locations and hours of operation.
Dave, have a great weekend, my friend.
You too, buddy. Thank you.
All right, see you. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Presented by Sasquatch Casino in Blackhawk. Just in case you missed it. Presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
Just in case you missed it, Colorado College football. We've got the three big teams in the Colorado College ranks in action this weekend. 5-1 Air Force taking on Boise State in Idaho, 7 o'clock p.m. Boise State only 3-3. Then CSU 2-3 at 2-4 New Mexico Saturday at 5 p.m. And the first game of the day, a little bit of a stinker perhaps, 0-5 Arizona at 1-4 CU. That's 1:30 at Folsom Field. If you were to rank those three Colorado teams in your mind as far as how much confidence you have in them getting a win tomorrow, who are the rankings 1-3?
Well, Air Force is the best team in the state. They're going to Boise. Like you mentioned, that Boise's 3-3, but Boise did beat BYU last week in Provo. So that's maybe a tougher game than it seemed a couple of weeks ago. I still have more confidence just in Air Force as a team and a program than the others. You know, CSU, New Mexico, that game's basically a coin flip down in Albuquerque. The most interesting game of those three guys, potentially with long-term impact, is CU Arizona. Arizona has that 17-game losing streak. They haven't won in 743 days. Arizona's last win was against
Colorado.
Yep, at Folsom Field, 35-30, back on October 5th of 2019. Fair to say that if CU loses this game, the Carl Durrell seat is scorching?
No. Yeah, he's only been here a year and a half. I don't think Rick George is going to pull the plug on him like the plug was pulled on John Embry. I don't. You need to have some consistency. He was pretty good last year. Call it a bad year. I think the fans would say, don't buy milk. Right?
Yes.
Right. That's what they would say to him. But I don't think that Rick George is going to have a quick trigger with Durrell. I think fans are going to be furious if they lose to Arizona. And they should be.
Furious to where they stop buying tickets?
No, fans don't really do that. You think they do, but they really don't.
I mean, the thing that always sends the message is empty seats. They have a couple more home games after this, but not until November. The other thing is, like, you know, we go back to that A&M game back in September. That seems so long ago because CU has lost its last three games by 30, 32, and or 22 and 23 points. Two of them at home.
He was the Pac-12 coach of the year last year. They have a freshman quarterback.
Life moves pretty fast.
No, I understand that, but I don't think Rick George is going to pull the trigger that fast. What's one of the biggest problems for the Broncos? Constant turnover with their coaching staff. What's been a problem for Colorado? Turnover with their coaching staff. You have to have some consistency. Losing to Arizona, people are going to want Durrell out.
Yeah, and where's the
and win, I get it.
And where are the wins coming from after this in conference play?
They may not.
If they don't get this
they
one.
They may not come. What I think you can say is that the seat for Durrell would be scorching hot going into next season. To the best of my knowledge, he did not sign a 2-year contract.
Nobody does.
That's right. And I think that if Durrell gets fired, it looks very bad for Rick George. In that particular hire, it looks very, very bad. I think he gets one more year. Let's see how it goes. Right?
It was an unusual hire, though, kind of coming late in the cycle because Mel Tucker did not leave until late February.
Right.
Which seems like forever ago. That was right before the pandemic, remember?
It was. How's Michigan State doing?
Very well. 6-0. They're undefeated. Yeah. They're playing your Indiana Hoosiers this weekend.
I know.
Yeah.
I say that joking. I know Michigan State's doing well.
Yeah, they are.
They didn't do well last year.
No.
They're doing well this year. All right, that was Mountain High Appliance, just in case you missed it. When you make a purchase, like an appliance, it's a big investment, and you really need to talk to people to make sure that you get what you need. And that's what you're going to get at Mountain High Appliance. Their sales staff has been there for a very long time. Whatever questions you have, they've heard them probably before. They want to get you what you need. If you go to a big box store, somebody is going to sell you a stove, and that same person might be selling you a television. That's not the customer service that you should expect. You should expect that, though, at Mountain High Appliance. You can find them in Louisville, Littleton. You can also find their clearance center in Denver. Coming up after the break, Von Miller last week called the Steelers game a playoff type of game. That didn't work out very well. This week he's calling it a must win. Is it? Is it really a must win? Or can you make the case the Broncos are in a no-win situation? I'll make that case next.
Warm bread, they said, could raise a dead. Well, it reminds me of the menu.